Bob Latticer joins us on Sports Byline. He has retired as one of the most successful high school football coaches in the country. He coached De La Salle High School in Concord, California, which is just outside San Francisco, for 34 seasons. And he's in the National High School Hall of Fame, and the numbers tell the story. He had a record of 399 wins, 25 losses, and 3 ties, a 93.8% winning percentage, and that is a national record for coaches with at least 200 wins. He coached De La Salle to a national record 151-game win streak, more than double the previous record of 72 games. He won 17 state and 8 high school national championships, and he sent 12 players to the NFL, including Armani Toomer, DJ Williams, and Maurice Jones-Drew. And certainly one of the highest compliments that can be paid anybody is what a competing coach says about Bob Latticer. Matt Logan of Centennial High School in California said of Latticer, he sets the standard not only in the way his teams play and execute, but how they conduct themselves. It's been a pleasure to coach against him. He's made me and our staff better coaches. Bob, when you announced that you were retiring, you explained it simply the right time. How did you come to that understanding, and what does that mean?
Well, I spent my whole life here trying to create something positive and something good and, something that would last. And I didn't know I was going to last that long. I never dreamed I was going to coach for 34 years. But, it just got to a point where, I was slowing down some, and the younger guys that were coaching with me that actually played for me were, they had all the energy out there. They reminded me of myself when I was younger, and they're running around, and, they just have a lot to give, and they're having a lot more to give than I was.
Bob, a lot of people, when they're in a profession for a long period of time, they do a lot of self-evaluation after they get on to 10, 15 years doing the same job. Did you do that to evaluate yourself to see how long you wanted to continue?
I didn't. I was kind of one of those guys that took one day at a time, and all of a sudden one day at a time turned into a year, and then, all of a sudden I look up, it's 20 years, and I never really had a plan for my career. I really felt like I had my hands full every day. I was challenged every day. So I just went, and I was at a place where I loved, and I liked my work, and I loved working with kids. But it got to a point where I'm like, we've built this really neat thing at the school, and we built this program that I think, was strong. I had great coaches, and I wanted it to keep going once I was out, or once I gave up the head coaching job, and I had the perfect guy in line. The guy that played for me, he worked with me as a coach for 10 years. His name is Justin Ellenbaugh, and he was doing a lot of the heavy lifting in the program as far as off-season training the kids, and he deserved to have it. I didn't want to lose him to another school either, so it's just that's what I meant by it was a good time to get out.
De La Salle did not have a winning program when you took over that program, and I'm just wondering, which is harder, to get a program up to the level that you put it at or to maintain it at that level?
I think maintaining it at that level is really difficult because you're going to have up and down years as far as talent goes. And, everyone thinks we reload our team with all these great players. And I have had great players, but I've had just as many slim years as far as college talent on my team or having, which means no college talent on our team. So I think it's harder to maintain a certain level because you have if you have a couple really good years back to back, people start gunning for you, and all the really good teams want to play you, and you might walk in there, and we have done this before, walked in and played a really high level opponent without the same, you couldn't match up with them physically, and they'd beat us, and that's just part of it. That's part of playing at that high level. Those things are going to happen. But when you start out and there's nowhere else to go but up, you kind of have a little bit more gunslinger's type of attitude. Who cares? We can't get any worse, or, nobody even knows who we are. So let's take all the chances and just work as hard as we can and see where we can go. And it's easier to get a program up than it is to maintain it.
I might point out to people who are listening around the world that De La Salle took on all comers. This wasn't just something that they did in the local San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm wondering, Bob, when you take a look at your program, was there any standard? I mean, what was the consistent theme that allowed you to year in and year out have the competitive, successful teams that you had?
Well, you know, if you're going to play at a national level or you want to play at the highest level that you can play at, which I think is the goal of all education. I mean, if I'm teaching a class or, you know, don't you want to try to push the kids and get them as far along as you can get them in your subject area? I think that should be the goal of all education. And even extracurricular activities. I mean, you don't put on a play. Our drama department doesn't put on a play to have some real shoddy production. They want to do it as professionally as they can. So we just wanted to play at the highest level we could possibly play and push the kids and see how good they could be. So if you want to play at that level, you got to play it all year, and you got to prepare for it all year.
I think most people know, Bob, that in parts of the country, football is a religion, but yet you were interested in developing the person as much as the athlete. How successful do you feel you were in that area, and how important was that to you?
That's a critical role of coaching, I think, is not just the X's and O's, but you have to understand kids and understand their personalities, too. And you have to be good at assessing what they're good at and what they're not good at and what their a lot of their character flaws are and what their character strengths are, too. So, you know, we've had a lot of talented kids come out for our team and just be horrible workers on the field or apathetic or underachievers. And vice versa, we've had some real average athletes that worked their tails off and became outstanding high school football players. So it's being able to be honest with kids, confront them with their shortcomings and their strengths, and ask them and challenge them to change. And once you do that, then you have to teach them how to do it. So you have to know the game of football, too. You got to have that wherewithal and that knowledge of the game where you can say to a kid, you're lazy, but I can take you to a place where you haven't been if you trust me and do what I tell you to do. And I'm lucky I've had coaches like that, very talented. They know the game well. We're technicians. We can help each kid on their individual game. And I think that's the key to coaching, is confront kids, challenge them, and then show them how to do it.
You coached the team to a national record 150-game win streak, and I remember talking to you and having you here on Sports Byline during the course of that win streak, particularly the latter stages of it. Is there anything that surprised you about being able to accomplish that type of run?
Yeah, when I look back on it, I not when I was in it and doing it but and involved in it, but looking back on it, I'm like, holy mackerel. That's a tough thing to do. And, you know, there were times in that streak, too, that we should have lost games and pulled them out at the end. And, you know, other teams would collapse down the stretch and stuff like that. So you got to have some luck involved, too, when you know, to accomplish something like that. We had a little luck here and there. But it's a record that's, I think, really going to be hard to break. And because we thought, when the only thing time I was really conscious of it when we were approaching the national record. And I thought, man, we're probably not going to get here again, so let's push these next few weeks and make sure we get this break this record. And little did I know we were going to double it. You know, I think looking back, an incredible accomplishment. But during the time, I really didn't even think about it. I'm still in that mode of, man, I got enough to get through today, you know, rather than think about win streaks or if we can keep a win streak alive. I'm thinking of how can I get this quarterback to complete this certain route today. So there's where my focus basically was.
I mentioned 399 victories, and a lot of people wondered, well, wouldn't you want to come back to get number 400? But I loved what you said. You said, that would be kind of a lame thing to do. I understand the number 399 has some sort of weirdness. Maybe way down the road, they'll think I died mid-season or something.
That just popped into my head, too. I haven't ever thought of that until they asked me about it. And I know the number was weird, but I thought, you know, that is kind of a weird number. I was thinking on the spot, and I thought, man, someone might think I died at mid-season. You know, it'd only be natural to try to come back and break 400, but you know, I really didn't have that kind of desire, or I didn't have that. I've never been about my record or my records or anything like that. And so it's not that important to me. It wasn't. It's just a good time for Justin to take over the program, and I'm not going to stick around just for that. So, and you know, and in the long run, too, what difference does one win make, really?
How did you counsel those players that you could see out on the field that you knew had some special talent and so could certainly go on and play at the college level, but probably in the NFL? I mentioned Armani Toomer, DJ Williams, and Maurice Jones-Drew. How did you counsel them about the future?
Well, you know, Ron, those guys that played in the NFL for us or made it at a high level in college, you know, those guys were always competitive. You know, they were just, they had a real competitive nature to them, and they weren't lazy kids. And any challenge you put in front of them, they would try it, and they'd go after it. So, you know, we train our kids really hard in the weight room, and we run them on the track, and we push them in agility drills, and these are the kind of kids that were like, they're always out front because they didn't want to lose to guys they were running against, or they wanted to lift more weights than the kids they were working with or on the same team. So they were really kind of easy to coach. And at this school, it's, you know, it's a real humbling school. And there's no such thing as somebody being better than somebody else or thinking themselves better. Our football players integrate well into the school. All the kids at our school love our football players because they're not walking around thinking they're God's gift to creation or anything like that. I really enjoyed those guys, and they're real special to coach because they love to compete. And for a high school football coach or any coach, when you got kids on your team that are competitors, makes it a lot of fun.
I want to ask you a question I often ask the late John Wooden, and that is he had a lot of great players down at UCLA, but I said, was there somebody who wasn't a star that you will always remember? And he kind of thought and smiled a little bit, and he gave me an answer. I'm going to ask you the same question, Bob. You had a lot of talented players, but was there somebody that kind of sticks out in your mind that maybe didn't have the talent that other players had, but you're really proud of having had on your team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those guys, but one in particular, we had an undefeated team. God, I can't remember exactly the year, but this guy, he was a transfer student from Southern California, Crespi High School. His name was Rob Mitchell, and he was a 175-pound guard, or not even that, 170-pound guard as a junior, and he just used to get thrashed by all the other kids and his junior year, and he put in this really hard off season, worked as much as he could, and tried as far as he could, and here he came back as like 185 pounds and 5'10", and he was just a scrapper. I mean, a guy that just gave everything, every snap, every down, every drill, and I'm like, I can't have this guy, this small lineman on my line. He's too small. He's just going to get worked over. And I did everything I could to try to keep him out of the lineup his senior year, but I couldn't. The guy was just unbelievable. He's like a little bulldog. And at the end of the season, he was one of our better linemen. He never really got beat. He would beat up other guys, or he would just get into them and never get off of them. And as it turns out, you know, he went ROTC. He went to became a naval pilot and, you know, served our country and was deployed to Afghanistan a couple times. He turned out to be a real smart kid to begin with, but what a citizen, I mean, and what a great guy. He was a great team leader, and those kids you remember, you really remember. And those are the kids that, you know, they're always keeping in contact with you and letting them know and letting you know how they're doing, and they're always asking how we're doing. And that's what makes coaching high school football really special.
Bob, I want to thank you very much for not only what you did with these high school kids, but being an outstanding example in the way you coached them both on and off the field. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline. Take care, Bob.
Thanks, Ron.
Bob Lattisor with us again, one of the most successful high school football coaches in the country, 34 years at De La Salle High School in Concord, California. And, of course, they had that great national record, 151-game win streak. We continue on Sports Byline.